Brent Q on this Wednesday night here high atop Television Hill as we get closer and closer to the divisional round showdown between the Baltimore Ravens visiting the top-seeded Denver Broncos. And now let's bring in Jameson Hensley from ESPN.com. J-Mo, what's going on?
Hey, I mean, just a few more days, you know, because we kind of get lulled with games being on Sunday that I think these Saturday games kind of creep up on you a little bit. Now that it's Wednesday, you know, it's fast approaching, so the Ravens only have a couple more practices before they head out to Denver on Friday.
Isn't it interesting how the league kind of puts the Ravens in this position to play those Saturday games as they've made the playoffs over the years?
Well, I mean, it just seems like it does. There is a trend this way, but if Cincinnati would have beaten the Texans, they would be the ones going on Saturday, and then the Ravens would be heading to New England on Sunday. It was already predetermined that Denver was Saturday, New England was Sunday. So, you know, so you can blame the league, but you can also blame the Bengals for not winning, because if they would have won, then the Ravens would have gotten, you know, a full 7 days of rest.
Curse you, Bengals. Curse you.
Mm. Yes.
when you look at, you know, just the way this season ended for Baltimore, did you think it would be the type of game that it turned out to be as far as against a really good trending Colts team? Matter of fact, I thought Andrew Luck more than looked impressive as far as in person.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing that, you know, for anybody that watched the Colts, you know, they lost, but watching Andrew Luck, they have a pretty bright future. I mean, this is a guy that, even talking to the Ravens after the game, they were very impressed with his poise, with his accuracy, and I think that's what people don't really realize with Andrew Luck, is that they look at his completion percentage and it's under 60%. They're like, wow, he's not an accurate guy. Well, he's just not a guy that does a lot of, you know, these dump down passes. He is always constantly looking downfield to make big plays. And I think that's where the Ravens limited him as much as possible. And during a few stretches, they were able to get a pass rush, a consistent pass rush on him. And I think that's saying a lot for the Ravens, considering that they're getting pretty much absolutely nothing from Terrell Suggs these days.
Yeah, that's true. I do want to talk about that in a moment. But for this upset, the Ravens, you know, people are looking at this as kind of some like Everest to climb. And it would be a gigantic upset. I don't want to take away from that. It's on the road. It's a top team in the AFC. They have Peyton Manning, the altitude, the short week. Everything seems to be working against the Ravens in that sense. But for some historical reference, and just to put things into perspective, and Q, you were part of the first one I'm going to mention. Jameson, you covered both of these games. But in 2000, divisional round, the Ravens went to Nashville, and they upset the Titans. I forget what the point spread was that for that game, but the Ravens were dogs there. And then in 2008, Jameson, also against Tennessee, that was the top-seeded Titans with a rookie quarterback that the Ravens had, a rookie head coach in 2008. People forget that. That was the best team, arguably, in the NFL in the regular season, that Tennessee Titans team in 08. They had the top defense, and the Ravens went there, and they beat them. And how did they do it? Well, you know, to pull off these kinds of things, you sometimes need the ball to bounce your way. I remember Chris Johnson got hurt early in that game. Matt Stover.
That was the difference, period.
That was the difference. They had, I think, a big call go in favor of the Ravens. Yeah. And then Matt Stover, in those days, for him to hit, what, a 46-yarder, Jameson? That was impressive in a cold January day in Nashville.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, it's not unprecedented for the number one seed to fall. And I think ESPN had a stat where for a long stretch, you know, the number one seeds always advance in the divisional round. That's just not the case these days. And, you know, we ask, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, what needs to happen for, you know, the Ravens to upset the Denver Broncos? And a lot of people say, hey, Peyton Manning is the guy that, you know, that's why the Ravens can't win, because they haven't beaten Peyton Manning. And it's true, that nine straight. But sometimes with Peyton Manning in the playoffs, he just doesn't come through. And since winning the Super Bowl, he's, you know, the last, I think, was it four playoffs since winning the Super Bowl, he's been one and out, one and done in three of them. So there's only been one stretch where he's won a couple games, and that was the stretch where they got back to the Super Bowl and eventually lost to the Saints. But still, that sometimes people have a, you know, and Q, you played with Peyton Manning, so you're more of an expert about him than I am, but there's always a reputation that follows him, is that when it comes to the big game, he just doesn't you know, he isn't as good as he is in the regular season, that he's the best quarterback in the regular season, but when it comes to the postseason, that really, that title usually belongs to Tom Brady.
Here's one thing that we do know for certain. He's a dome guy, likes to have the 1 mile per hour wind, the 70 degree perfect conditions, and outdoors, whether it be up in New England for many a juggernaut of a battle or whatever, you're looking at Peyton Manning just not performing well outside. I do know when we were in 2002, wasn't overly bad weather, but it was just enough. And he certainly stunk up the joint against the Jets. I mean, we got blown out that day for my last go around as a player. And then when you look at, you know, how he has been this year with the whole neck thing and, you know, the way the arm fatigue and the fluttering balls and all that, it's going to be cold in Denver. And we all know, we've talked about it ad nauseum. I think it could favor Joe Flacco because he is that, you know, built for cold weather, AFC North type of quarterback going up to Cleveland, Lake Erie type, you know, weather. I think that, you know, this can be the X factor that no one's really talking about.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a big storyline, you know, in Denver this week. It's, you know, Peyton Manning and his glove. I mean, you know,
seriously, no, that's serious.
Yeah, and I mean, they're really analyzing this every single day. So, I mean, it's very valid right now, and I believe Joe Flacco, one of the reasons they really fell in love with Joe Flacco is because of his arm strength. And when you're an outdoor team, like you said, Q, and you're playing the AFC North, and those winds start swirling, you have to have that arm strength to really go through it. And that was one of the reasons they really went with Joe Flacco. And I agree with you. If it's bad weather, you know, this might sound crazy, but I would prefer to have a quarterback like Joe Flacco compared to Peyton Manning right now.
Fascinating, fascinating. More still to come with Jameson Hensley from ESPN.com. More in this game coming up on Saturday. By the way, you can hear it right here on WBA.